Coming up on TMS, the best tropes are the sexist tropes.
Daryl goes blue.
Ebola is finally here.
Yay, that Mexican kid sure has a lot of Harry Potter stuff.
AC/DC has some bad news.
Oh no, Tracy Morgan is all ticked with Walmart again.
Recommentals.
Tom's tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
So what's everyone up to today?
Linda Emerson called and she asked if Dosh and Peter could help Andrew and Lisa learn about the internet. She's trying to get Bud to get the internet at home.
Okay, now don't forget to keep it simple for your pals, you two. You guys have learned an awful lot, even though you've only been online a couple of weeks.
That's the great part, Dad. It's so easy to learn and so much fun to play on.
Yeah, Dad. Peter doesn't even have to help me anymore.
They truly satisfy me.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. It's what's in the yogurt.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream, and as I always say,
they truly satisfy me.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to give any context for that clip.
Disturbing. Yeah. Disturbing.
Yeah, one of the worst things you've ever sent me, Brian.
I had a hard time watching even 3 minutes of that video. I did not watch the whole thing.
I couldn't do it. I got a couple of choice clips, and then that was it. And that's all we're going to tell you. You guys go out and find it yourself.
Yeah.
Go on a hunt, see what you can find out there on the internet. It's so easy to
learn. She's an ambassador to the 60-plus MILF crowd, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've elected her their spokesperson.
Also,
she
just
moved here when she was 16.
Just a quick note for Peter and Dolpha or whatever her name is on these computer commercials we've been playing lately.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all been good fun and whatever. It's a big, stupid early 90s thing and all that. I've only started to have a little trouble with it because she can't seem to do anything without Peter's help. And it bugs me. It bugs me that she's like, and I don't even need Peter's help anymore, Mom. You don't need his help.
Right.
He's a douche. You're fine. You can do it on your own.
Have him come over and mansplain it for you.
Yes. Ah. I'm getting so invested in these people's lives, these fake people's lives. It's killing me. But you know where I learned all this?
On chat lines.
All right, great.
did I say MILF? I meant GILF.
GILF. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Yeah, well, GILF. His grandmothers.
Oh, grandmothers. That's gross. Is it really a thing?
There's a big difference between MILFs and GILFs.
Right, but it's the I'd like to part I don't buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the
Is Helen Mirren a grandmother?
Yes. Is she old enough to be one? I don't know if she is one. Does she have children? Probably.
I guess that is probably the thing, right?
Yeah.
She
was the queen.
No, I'm saying you can't be a GILF unless you actually have offspring who has their own offspring.
This is the worst conversation I've ever had with anyone. It is really the worst thing. All right. Check it out. Check it out, man. Check it out. Look at this. Look at what I got here.
Here, shiny, distract.
I have, people at home seeing me kind of fidget with my face. I got a spider bite overnight at about, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something. I felt something on my face. I thought it was just an itch. I'm kind of half dead sleeping. And all of a sudden, it's like a very intense pinching feeling on my face. So I reach up with my left hand and smack it. Psh, smack my face.
Uh-huh.
And I came away with the guts of a dead spider. The legs and the torso and the innards of a dead spider.
Were you able to identify what kind of spider it was?
No, it was some kind of smushed spider. That's all I know. Golly. It was the smushed species, Brian.
It's very often that you can wake up and you'll have like a red mark on you somewhere like, oh man, I wonder if something bit me in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very rare occurrence when you whack the the thing on your face that you're...
Yep. It's very rare. I've never done it before. Here it was, and I thought, oh, well, no big deal. I get up this morning, and as you can see, chat room, I get this big red nightmare.
Mm.
It looks like...
Oh, I wonder if it laid eggs under your skin.
Oh, gosh. Let's not talk about that. I had a friend who had a roach do that in his butt. Did I ever tell you about that? I had a roach, a baby or a tiny roach, some specific kind of roach that likes dark places.
So glad we stopped talking about Helen Mirren. Because, boy, you know, this is so much better.
It crawled up his rumpus and set up camp. And they had to have surgery and stuff. It was bad. Anyway, yeah, oh so I'm sure God. It'll be fine. If it starts taking over more of my face, I'll probably go get it looked at. But I really don't want to. I don't want to go in for this. I feel like this is a wimpy thing to go in for, having a spider bite in your face. Now, having just said that, we're going to get a flood of like 100 emails going, dude, you need to go get that looked at right away. That could have been a brown recluse or a freaking tarantula von Smackertoid or whatever kind of weird brand spider you're going to tell me about.
Tarantula von Smackertoid.
Something like that. But I don't think I want to go in. So anyway, I'm going to try not to fiddle with it. I'm just going to do a show here. Yeah, you know,
Irony Man, you are awesome. Irony Man's most recent gif is what you must have looked like in the middle of the night last night.
Oh, no, I'm terrified. Let's take a look. Oh, actually, gosh, dude.
Second most recent.
I don't like that first recent one either.
Yeah, that one's pretty.
Oh, gosh. That's basically it. And that's the left side, and it's right where the hole is, or right where the bite is. Oh, my gosh. You know what? That's being posted later.
Follow TMS GIFs on Twitter, and you'll get to see those same images.
Yeah. Me last night about 10 p.m. Wow. Brilliant. Okay. Hey, so I got another thing to tell you about. I like movies. Yeah. So do you.
I do.
Big
yes.
fan. We like them. We enjoy FilmSack. One of the things we like about our show, FilmSack, is that it's about movies that are often filled with tropes. We like tropes. In fact, whenever we see a trope or run into some sort of trope on that show, we make a point to play this. Right? That's our alert.
That's our trope alert.
Trope alert is what we call that. So that's how into tropes we are. It has its own sound. And I found this great post talking about what the biggest trope in Hollywood is. And then they talked about the most sexist trope. So there are many sexist tropes, right?
Sure, of course there are, yeah.
The most sexist trope in Hollywood happens to be let her go. Now,
okay.
You're thinking to yourself, what the hell are you talking about there, Scott? I've got this video compilation that I've captured a little audio from.
Okay.
I'm going to play it for you now. This is just a piece of it. The point I want to make here is this is a very long video that clearly does not include every instance of this. Just many of them. And listen to how often you hear this. Here you go.
Let her go. Let her go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
Hey! Let her go!
Oh, God damn it! Let her go!
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 Alright, that's just 14 seconds of it.
Wow.
Now, it's always some girl in distress and some dude coming to save her. And you don't think about it because it's so prevalent. But now that you think about it, you will not be able to not see it. It's in every movie you've ever seen where there's any sort of peril at all. And even in a rom-com, it might be something like let her go.
It insinuates that women can't let themselves go.
No, they don't have the wherewithal to let themselves go. A dude has to come and let them go or help them get let go. And it was a myriad of movies that I totally recognized, stuff we'd seen on FilmSack, things that are more modern and current. It was kind of redonkulous. So it got me to thinking, do you have a sexist trope in films that is your favorite? I mean, we've talked about this stuff on FilmSack a lot, but I don't know if we've ever talked about this in particular. So
can I really quickly make the joke that Jessica Simpson is capable of letting herself go?
Oh,
that'll buy me a little time to think about an answer.
Yeah, nicely done.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Oh no, Jessica Simpson. Tuna shaming is what I did there with the whole Charlie Tuna.
She looks better now.
Chicken of the sea. She does actually.
She looks great. She's taking good care of herself.
She has turned her ways around.
Hey, anyway. Hey, let's flip it on its side. You know that Jonah Hill lost a bunch of weight,
yes,
and then he let himself go.
He's perfectly capable of letting himself go, too. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Give him equal time to the man. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
Keep your emails to yourself. But do you have a favorite? Like, I don't know. I mean, this may be the big one, so it's hard to think of others, but like...
Well, the women can't run from a crazed killer without tripping and falling.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I like that one a lot. How about, let's see. How about a woman in a movie seems like they're always resistant to the advances of the man character, but always always fall to his wiles. In other words,
eventually give in.
Eventually,
right?
They
no,
give
no,
in. It's like,
okay.
Oh no, I can't. I'm this is all too soon. Come on, baby, whatever. Sure. And then finally, she kisses him. And it's you had me at hello from that point on, right?
There was a little bit of that with Betsy Brand in the season finale of Masters of Sex this last weekend. Mm.
Who's she? The brunette?
She's the brunette. Yeah, she's Mary. Well, no, the brunette is Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, Lizzie Kaplan.
A favorite of yours. No, Marie Schrader is Betsy Brand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Where did I just see Lizzie Kaplan in a freaky thing I saw her in this over the weekend?
Was it Mean Girls?
No.
Because I was surprised to see her in Mean Girls, like a young Lizzie Kaplan in Mean Girls.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Something I just saw a brief bit of it and went, oh, look at her, and then forgot about it. Now I don't remember what I saw her in. But anyway, well, that's good. So that show is good, right?
It is really good. I mean, there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Marie Schrader on this last episode did a little partial frontal.
Yeah. Well, I think it's in the
top frontal.
I honestly feel like Showtime is taking the crown away from HBO when it comes to this stuff.
Well, at least with this show, I mean, on Californication. I mean, it's basically they've got two or three big shows that are so predominantly sex based that, you know, if it was Game of Beds, Bed of Thrones, right, whatever, then it would make a little more sense for HBO to have, or for that show to have, as much nudity as it does. But but I mean, Masters of Sex is about Masters and Johnson and the whole, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's going to be nudity in it. Californication is about a guy who can't keep it in his pants.
Here's what I hate. Played by
a guy who can't keep it in his pants.
Yeah, played by Fox Mulder. Even he had a porn addiction problem. Remember that? At least Mulder did.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, here's my problem with Showtime. I don't really see a lot of Showtime shows. But whenever I have seen a Showtime show, I come away with this every time. I don't think they make a show where anyone's likable in it. I don't like anybody in any Showtime shows. I'll give you an example. I think Californication doesn't have a single character I like. They're unlikable. They're awful people. Everybody in that show is just kind of awful. I don't think people in Weeds were very likable. Weeds was interesting, but no one was likable. They were all kind of jackasses and jerks. Every single one of those people.
No, she was like, you know, it's the anti-hero. It's the Walter White. It's the Tony Soprano. It's the
I get it. But at least those shows had ways of making me like other people in them. Like, I really liked Edie Falco's character. And you really could relate to her and some of the older Italian mobster guys. Like, there are people in some of these shows you're like, oh yeah, I can totally get behind him. It's complicated, but I can get behind him. And I felt
You know who was likable in Weeds then? It was the brother. It was
He was such a jackass, though.
Yeah, but he was a likable jackass.
I never liked him. Okay, so I'll give you a newer example.
Okay.
Everybody in Californication is just—they're just terrible people. I don't want to be around any of them.
His daughter's the shining light.
Sort of. She's kind of also kind of a jackanape. At least early. I mean, I don't watch that show very much. So the two or three episodes I've seen.
Okay.
So then, come in that new one with Don Cheadle.
Which I haven't seen.
That bad, very weird people, or what's it called? Whatever. What's her name in it? Dax Shepard's wife.
Oh, Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Okay, so that's that show. And I like both those two people. Those two actors are fine actors. Mm-hmm. I tune into that show. We saw it in a hotel or something. It sucks. Everyone sucks in it. And I don't mean they're bad actors or that
House
this
of
is
Lies. Is
House of Lies. It's just everybody is so entirely not likable. And so I've come to this, and most people in Dexter weren't very likable.
Another great example. But it's a likableness like, all right, we've all got this bag of crap. Every one of us has this bag of flaws that we carry around with us. And it's what makes us who we are. It's the things we're trying to change about ourselves. It's what makes us interesting. It's what makes us unique and what makes us flawed.
Sure.
And I think with these characters, these antiheroes, you have to bring those things to the surface. You've got to see, you know, Dexter, all right, sure, he's a serial killer, but he only kills bad people.
No, Dexter was okay. I liked Dexter.
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie, I haven't seen.
She cares the world about her kids, but she's got a drug problem.
I haven't seen that one, so I couldn't say. Okay. But what you but
Don
do you,
Draper is a womanizing alcoholic.
Sure. Sure.
But you still like him.
And there are a lot of people in there. There are a lot of people in Mad Men I don't like. Like, it's not that.
Is there anybody in Mad Men you like? Like, that's another example of like a whole collection of unlikable characters.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why I haven't watched a ton more of it after season three.
Maybe Cooper, but Bert Cooper. Sorry.
Yeah. I guess. Spoiler. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's something specifically about the Showtime brand of it. It's something they're doing. It's a certain tone in their stuff. Why Walter White and Breaking Bad does not give me this feeling, I don't know. Because it should. You're right about, you know, there's nothing to like about a lot of the people in that either. I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know what it is? At least in Walter White, there are big things happening, Brian. Big stuff is afoot in Breaking Bad. In these other shows I'm talking about, mm-hmm. It is the most benign, banal, lame stuff. No, you can't write. You got writer's block and you got to have sex with everybody. Boo freaking who, dude.
Right, but that's... Wait. So So the meth creation carries more weight than...
Yes, because the stakes are higher, I guess, or
they're
something.
They're all providing for their families. This they're is just all a theory. Doing what they need to do to get by.
It's just a theory, but it's just so... Oh, here we are in L.A., and L.A. sucks, and she's hot, and blah. I know people listening to me right now know what I'm talking about. It is a side of people that I don't like about people, generally, and I don't want it in my drama. So I could only get to like two of those episodes of whatever that Don Cheadle thing is without just going, ugh, this just sucks. Everyone sucks. It just sucks. It's
I
not
need to see that.
It's not good. Now, give me a show like
right,
what's the
Raising Hope.
Okay.
Raising Hope that you've directed me to
love
watch.
Raising Hope.
Love Raising Hope. It's great. But it is a show full of idiots.
Of total idiots. No. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's not about you being an idiot that I have a problem with.
It's about you being a jackass.
Those guys, it's about you being a jackass and being narcissistic.
Yeah,
and
that's true. Okay, I'll give you that.
That whole, like, it's the combination of narcissism and it just a complete ignorance of good people in your shows. Because Raising Hope has wonderful people in it. Mm-hmm. Like the
really
dad
does,
is a dingleberry, but he's got
Garrett,
a heart of gold.
Garrett Dillahunt is the unsung hero of that show. Like
he's
his delivery of every single line is a magical thing.
He's so good.
Did you get us a trampoline or maybe a mini trampoline or maybe something else we can jump up and down on?
He's really good. So give me a show with people who are flawed. That's not my problem. I think it's that they're so narcissistic.
Like Friends where,
no.
where nobody has flaws.
No,
where
they suck.
Perfect.
They suck. They suck too for the opposite reason. In fact,
my big flaw is that they misprinted my name on my TV guide subscription.
I think I figured it out. Why Breaking Bad is not a problem. I think I figured it out.
Why is that?
Because at his heart, Walter White has been thoroughly expressed as a character. He is not just this one dimensional. I need to make meth and rule the world guy.
Right.
He kind of becomes closer to that guy, but his heart and soul were originally a very different thing. And you get to go on that journey with him and you see him waffling between literally truly wanting to do the right thing for his family and then making terrible, terrible mistakes.
Right. But it was always for the family, right down to the very end, the final episode.
And I like that.
People had such a problem with that, saying, well, no, he became this horrible person. I said, well, yeah, he did become a horrible person and do mm-hmm. some horrible things.
Yeah.
At the heart of all those decisions, every bad decision he made, every good decision he made, it was his family that,
He went about all that shit wrong. He was terrible at what he did, but he did it for the right reasons. And a lot of that stuff is just misguided. And that works for me. 100% works for me. Tony Soprano works for me because he's kind of the same thing.
I just can't understand why Weeds, like why...
Weeds is okay. Weeds is not
Mary
the
Louise
worst offender.
Parker.
Not the worst offender by any stretch. If they were all Weeds, I'd be probably better with it. But like freaking that Cheeto thing and Californication, they are just such bastards. Everybody's just awful and they're... And they think I care about their shitty problems. Their problems are so dumb and so like self-centered. It's like, oh, I didn't get to screw that guy out of $40 million. Feel bad for me, audience. Screw you, Don Cheadle.
Oh, I'm getting old. I better chain smoke and bang 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't have a career anymore, so and everybody around him is just gross.
All right.
It's just gross.
Well, yeah, Californication, I think you are on the money with that one, because I can't think of, aside from the youngest daughter who really, I don't know, I can't think of a
she provides an anchor, sure.
She made.
She provides an anchor for him, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she needs to. That show needs somebody with some kind of heart to them. Mm-hmm. Just looking for a little heart, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the rebound.
By the way, you see, in Sopranos, Christopher, what's the kid's name?
Christopher.
It is Christopher. I'm trying to think of the actor's name. But anyway, he makes an appearance in the final season of Californication. Actually, a major role in the final season of Californication.
That show's over then?
It's over, yeah. David Duchovny, okay, and you know, his wife and his girlfriends and all that sort of stuff, daughter and
his Jane Seymour looking wife.
His Jane Seymour looking wife, yeah. his little bald buddy, whatever. I'm not talking about that little bald buddy. We're okay, but it was actually the season long guest stars that they had on that show, or the people who came in and had major roles for the whole season, is what I think made that show fun.
I don't think I'll ever see it.
No, probably won't.
I think I'm done with their narcissistic bullcrap. All right, let's
Michael Imperioli. Thank you, Jackalope.
Who? Oh, that's his name. Imperioli.
Yes, Michael Imperioli. Yep.
Imperioli. Whoa.
Thank you, Madam Jackalope. I will never make that mistake again, thinking that you're a man named Jack A. Lope.
Oops, that happened yesterday. It's Dump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
the various shadows of Mordor.
Ooh, yeah,
they
dude.
They are everywhere.
They truly are. I got nothing but good things to say about that game. Holy schmoopy poop! all of the rave reviews are dead honest, straight up.
Wow.
Good. Yeah, like the people were falling over themselves last week about it, which is what got me to get it, and it's awesome. Holy crap, I like it. All right, and more. I'll talk a ton about that on tomorrow's Boop Show, so you guys can catch that there at frogpants.com/boop. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
I have something to share from the archive of Daryl. You guys want to hear these things?
Yes.
All right. So yesterday, Daryl went a little blue on Twitter there with a vine he put up. But
really?
I think he was making a really strong environmental stand, and I decided to capture it. Here is Daryl getting his yearly mandatory yellow pages that came to his door, and this is what he said.
Oh, the new phone book's arrived. Guess where it goes? Directly into the recycle bin. What a f***ing waste.
There you go, Daryl. Dropping the F-bomb on Vine.
Wow.
Yeah. Never hear that very often, do you?
Holy mackerel.
That's when you know Daryl's serious about something.
It's a whole new Trek nerd.
Yeah. Brand new.
Well, they're pumping out all these phone books using billions and billions of paper, tons of paper.
There are people who work for those phone company, the phone book companies, who have no idea that there's an internet, and we should just kind of let them be.
You think so?
Okay.
So
they don't know. And
I wonder how many trees go down because of those things every year.
Yeah.
Because they are a total waste. Daryl, you'd be happy to know that here you can opt out and they will not bring you one.
So I think it's that way here, too, and I thought I was opted out.
Oh, well, all right.
There's more than one company that makes those things.
I am confused as to why they still exist in any number. It just blows my mind.
Yeah. I just want to put the recycle bin at the end of the driveway and say, just put it right in here.
Yeah. Well, Daryl wasn't that grumpy, because then I got a voice message from him on my phone that said this. So here's this.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
My gosh, talk about...
What's that?
what the heck was that?
Wow.
Man?
Woo! What are we hearing?
Yeah. Also, so I got all this stuff to play right now. I don't know. Now, this third one is not Daryl, but somebody pointed out that this right here...
Oh.
Okay, you know that one, Brian? Played it yesterday. Yes. I'll play it one more time. Is a lot like this. So somebody has pointed out that I sound a lot like that guy in a different speed, but there you go. Just had to show
that. Sounds like a help ends with a help. help.
Yeah, there's a longer version of that. I don't know where it is though. Anyway, Daryl, good to have you back. It's Daryl's time to be on the show where we do Stump a Trek Nerd, and he answers Star Trek trivia questions in the only way he knows how, which is usually in the affirmative, sometimes in the negative. And today is Act It Out Day.
Yay!
Yeah, so that's fun, right? So it's time to bring our acting talent to the table. What episode of the original series does this come from? I will be playing the part of Kirk. You will be playing, Brian, the part of Chekhov. I don't know how well you have to do the accent. There are no rules here.
All right.
So do your best. Whatever you got.
Great.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I'll begin. Quiet in the audience. Here we go.
It's going to go right into Irish is what's going to happen.
Mr. Hey, Captain, I don't know what's going on.
Really close to that, yeah.
All right. Mr. Chekhov, as you were, Chekhov.
Sir, let me go too. I've got the personal score to settle with the Klingons.
This is no time for a vendetta. Maintain your post.
Captain!
Chekhov, maintain your post.
Don't try to stop me, Captain. I saw what they left of Pyotr, and I swore on his grave that I would avenge his murder.
You did a good job. You totally nailed it there at the end. All right, end scene.
It's so good. Don't even give me a choice. I've already got it.
You know this one? Jeez.
That well done. Wow.
Well, your options were the Omega Glory, the Day of the Dove, the Deadly Years, or Spectre of the Gun. While you consider those answers, and even though you may already know what they are, here's this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
We return to the Bag of Daniel, wherein there are items of great repute.
Daniel Bag. So you really did not get one of these, Scott?
What is it? I did. You ask me that every time. It's so funny.
Oh, okay. Because at the very beginning, it sounded like you didn't get one of those.
No, I just never got the bag at all.
Oh, actually, and there's also a box of something, like a... Oh, how good does that look?
What is it?
Amarina Kirsch.
Oh, yeah, that does look good. The strawberry-looking thing?
Yeah.
So we'll do a... let's do one of these Ritter Sports out of the little slot thing, and then we'll do the pink thing tomorrow. And do we have is it the same order for you guys? Is your first one a blue one that says Edel Volmich?
No, that's the second to last one, but using my X-Acto knife, I can perform a surgical strike.
I've got two of those, one at the beginning and one is the next.
Oh, same here. I'm the same as Daryl, yep.
Well, I've got two Jogurts.
Oh, you have two of the white ones? Oh, I also have two of the Jogurts.
Yeah, me too.
How many greens do you have?
One green.
Okay,
one green.
How about
two browns?
One brown.
One brown.
I have two browns.
That might be why. How about the red marzipan? I got one and one yellow.
Just got one of those.
Yeah.
One yellow.
So I think your browns doubled up. Our blues doubled up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And our Jogurts got doubled up.
Jogurt.
All of our Jogurts got doubled up.
I got jog hurt when I tripped the other day. It was real trouble. So, all right. And you know the sound it made when I tripped and when I was jogging, don't you?
Oh.
That was the one. And then, chat room, here we're going to... So what do you think? The blue ones, the white ones, what do you want?
I've already surgically removed the blue ones.
Okay, we'll do a blue one.
Yeah.
So,
blue one is on the way.
So I'm commit. Well, I guess I could always jam that back in the package if I had to.
Oh, I got my red.
This is Edel Volmich.
Edel Volmich. Yeah.
Some sort of milk chocolate, I'm guessing.
Is this also Hungarian?
No, these are Ritter Sports are German, I thought.
Are they German? Okay.
Yeah, I thought that's a German thing. Let me see here.
All right.
Yep, German chocolate company. Not each pack is the same, but includes at least one of the following types. Nussperkert says crispy cookie. Nougat is nougat. Noopster flakes, marzipan, hazelnuts, and...
Noopster flakes?
Noopster flakes. Or Knupser flakes.
I love that.
Edel Volmilk is indeed milk chocolate.
It's really good.
Is this good for sports? Is that why they're called this?
Over there,
yeah,
sport.
We never did find out what sport means in German.
Yeah, because it's all over the place. Used for candy. Candy. I'm gonna just look this up. Sport. Hey, Ritter Sport.
This is good stuff.
Oh,
you on
so
Google Translate?
Hmm. That is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite kind of thing right there. It says here. Oh, they have mottos. Do you want to hear the motto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. By the way, founded in 1912, Alfred Ritter and newly wedded wife Clara founded a chocolate factory in Slugart Brad Constant. Later, it introduced its own brand of chocolate named Akira.
That's where they got that.
Alicria, sorry.
Oh.
When production needed, it required an expansion, Oh, okay. They wanted to make a thing that would fit nicely in a sport jacket. That is why it is called the Ritter Sport. That's awesome. I freaking love that. They have many varieties, and they still, to this day, are considered rad. The slogans are all in German. Okay, here we go. Quad, Stritch, Praktisch, Gut. Which stands for square, practical, and good.
Mm.
Here's the French packaging. Carré, Pacquois, Gourmonde. I wonder how bad I got that. Here in North America, quality, chocolate, squared. That's what we say.
Did they do a period after every single one?
They do. Because we're Americans.
Because, yeah, there's not nearly enough of that.
Yeah.
Three
two,
punctuated
one. Oh.
Words.
How about this one? Italian is Quadrato Practico Bueno. That sounded like Spanish. I know they're close. English packaging is quality in a square. There are no periods in that one. And then finally, the Russian. Oh, I couldn't read that if you paid me. Never mind. It's huge and long. All right. Capture that out, Mike.
Yep, that's a free one.
Daryl, let's get to birthdays. Who's having one and who are they?
That would be Stephen Collins. Or is it Stefan? I never know.
At PH?
60, it's PH.
I think it goes either way, right? I mean, it just depends on what they call themselves.
Is it A-N or E-N at the end?
E-N.
Oh, Stephen.
Stephen, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen Collins.
Like our own Mr. Schleicher.
Yeah, Schleicher spells his that way.
Oh, okay. He's 67 today. He played Commander Will Decker on the motion picture.
Decker. Oh. Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Blonde. Seventh Heaven guy.
Yeah,
right.
Basically,
exactly.
The Star Trek movie equivalent of a red shirt. They always have these. Who's never going to be on another one, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to drift off or die.
He went off with Ilea.
He ascended with her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Merged with V'ger.
Yeah.
That's right.
You and me and V'ger, let's go off together.
I had a guy tell me on Twitter that the motion picture was the worst choice we've ever had for doing a film sack movie. And I asked why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I asked why. And he said, because it's a serious movie. It's not one you can just make fun of the whole time. I said, A, your bias is hanging out. You should zip that up. And two, I don't think those aren't our rules. We'll watch whatever, man. We also right. think Breakfast Club is a hell of a film, but we still film sacked it.
Lots of movies you guys have reviewed have been made to be serious.
Yeah, exactly.
And failed horribly.
Yeah. And Daryl over there had all these, had a little bit of consternation when we announced we were going to do a Sharknado thing until he realized it was going to be a commentary track. But as a normal episode, I would agree with him. I feel like if you understand the tone of the show, you'll know when something fits and you'll know when it shouldn't fit. And I don't think we've had too many that don't fit. We've been pretty good about it, even when they're good or when they're really bad. I mean, I think we were picking the right picks. Anyway, we know what we're doing, so back off. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah, back to the question. Happy birthday to that guy. May he ever reign. Is he still with us? Is he working?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure what he's doing now.
I'd be really curious about that.
67's young.
Yeah, that's a young age.
He's on his ninth or tenth heaven by this point.
Wait, he was on Seventh Heaven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the main guy.
You just blew my mind. I know you said that, but it didn't sink in. That's the main dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the dad.
There he is, Stephen Collins. Oh, gosh. Now it's all coming together. That's a major Utah connection. They filmed most of that show out here. This was back in the time in the 90s when Seventh Heaven, How I Touched an Angel or whatever. What's the name of that?
How I Met Your Angel.
Somebody Touched My Angel. And then, Touched My Angel. That's it. And then there's a third one that's all in that vein. And they were all, we had like these great tax incentives and they were all filmed out here all the time. Anyway. Well, good for him. Daryl, your question here. That little skit we did, which episode's that from? The Omega Glory, The Day of the Dove, The Deadly Years, or Spectre of the Gun?
Well, this would have to be Day of the Dove, because Chekhov was talking about Pyotr or whatever, this brother that he never had, because this energy thing was suggesting to him that he should be angry for this reason, but he never had
a brother. Was that the deal?
Yeah.
How do you say that name, Pyotr?
That's how I say it.
Pyotr. Just like that? That's how I pronounce it.
What if it's just Peter?
Pyotr Rasputin.
Pyotr. It's like Peter in Game of Thrones. Littlefinger there.
Right.
His name is, in the book, is spelled P-E-Y-T-Y-R, I think.
I think that's right.
And then what's his name that does the voiceover for one of the audiobooks? I can't get his name all of a sudden. Old guy. He says, like, Pater or something. Or Pieter or some weird pronunciation. So when they just call him straight up Peter on the show, it throws me off. Anyway, you're making me think of all these old things. I had that bird I had when I was a kid, the imaginary friend. The imaginary friend I had named Peter.
Aging Dr. Freud.
That bird I had that I've told stories about on the show, his name was Peter. And so now I'm thinking about all these Peter names. All right, one of my best friends growing up's name was Peter, and a dog bit him. All right, we're going to move on now to the answer. Daryl, you say Day of the Dove. Let's find out if he's right.
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
That's an impressive piece of trivia business there. Way to go. Mm-hmm. That is the one.
He even knew without the choices.
Yeah.
Good he is.
This weird being makes the Klingons and Starfleet want to fight each other, trying to start a war. It also makes swords appear out of nowhere. This causes Chekhov to want to fight the Klingons, which is weird also. Way to go, old Star Trek, and way to go, Daryl. You've done it, and tomorrow you get to try to do it again. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and part of This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. Grumpy Cast still going, right?
Yep.
All right.
Recording tomorrow.
Are you going to be all pissy on it and be all grumpy on it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's the big topic? You guys going to complain about what, you're like psoriasis or freaking, like, what's on it? You should talk about phone books, and now they shouldn't be made.
Well,
anymore.
Yeah, that is actually on the list.
Hmm. Well, good.
We'll do a whole bunch of things.
Lovely. Before you go, why don't you play a game with us called what?
Well, I'm completely unprepared this week, so I'm just going to do reruns.
Oh, great.
Leftovers.
Okay. Here's a leftover theme. I really like that one, so I'm going to keep using it.
The internet. Okay.
Is this in the Star Trek or in the Utah?
On chat lines.
All right. Go ahead.
El Langan Mountains.
El Langan Mountains?
Mm-hmm. El Langan Mountains. What are the choices again? Star Trek or real life, basically? Are
you in the Utah or on Star Trek?
In the Utah or on Star Trek.
I'm going to say Star Trek because I've never heard of the El Langan Mountains.
I defer to you, man.
We have Rockies, Teton, or not Tetons, the Ochre Mountains.
Wasatch.
We have Wasatch, and we have there's some other stuff down south, and I can't remember the names of these things, but I don't think I've heard of that. This is going to be bad if I'm wrong, but Daryl, we say it's Star Trek.
And, well, I guess you have never heard of... Well, yes, you have. You have heard of the Vulcan Mountains from the animated
show. I will have to take the gun! All right. That was redonkulous. Here's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Rainstorms and Thunder at 2 a.m. Nature's Sleep Aid.
Yeah, it's great. It's nothing keeps you awake more than at 2 o'clock in the morning. We've had nothing but thunderstorms for, like, it feels like weeks now.
We've had them here too, but I haven't noticed any overnight ones.
Oh, so it's all overnight for us. So, like, normal kind of rain in the day, but at night, torrential wind and rain and awful thunder, and it's keeping me up every... Like, last night, I could not sleep. Plus, I had a throbbing freaking spider hole in my face.
Mm.
Gosh dang it.
Spider hole.
Spider hole. Does whatever. What's the rest? Is there any more? I guess that's it.
I stopped before I even had to think about that.
Today's show brought to you by Simply Testable. Simply Testable provides one-click full-site automated HTML validation, CSS validation, JavaScript static analysis, and broken link checking. Got a big website? Run it through this thing, man. Improves your site quality, and by testing this thing in literally minutes, you are avoiding having to do it by hand, which would take you hours. They're great tools, awesome stuff. Get started today with a 30-day trial. If you're a sysadmin or a webmaster, this might just be for you. No credit card required. Just visit simplytestable.com/TMS. That's the address. And get 20% off the lifetime of your account. That's at simplytestable.com/TMS for 20% off. All right, here's the news. First case of Ebola is in the U.S.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we got an official one, although I swear we reported a couple of months ago that somebody got off a plane and had it in New York. But maybe they mean contracted here or something. I don't know what they mean, but the CDC, you know, that guy from Truman Show and the all by himself.
I was going to wait and see if Walking Dead came into this at all.
I can't help it, dude. That thing just reduced the CDC down to one crazy person. Well, it's hard for me.
One guy in a big office.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get it out of my head. Anyway, they have vowed, we will stop it here, unquote. The first Ebola case has been diagnosed in the United States. Top health officials say there's no doubt that we'll stop it here. Dr. Tom Friedman, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the patient left Liberia on September 10th and arrived in the U.S. on the 20th. Patient sought medical help on the 27th and was put in isolation on the 28th. Boy, anybody else on that flight feel nervous now? How are you feeling about that flight?
God.
Tests confirming the Ebola diagnosis came back today. The White House said President Obama, Barack Obama, I believe is his name.
That's exactly how it's pronounced.
He was briefed.
Make sure you get his middle name in there, too, because that's proof.
That's right. That's
proof that he's, you know,
here. Hussein.
He's working for the Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, he ain't from here. let's see. Was briefed about the patient by Frieden, Dr. Frieden. Dr. Frieden stressed that the patient was not sick on departure from Liberia upon arrival in the U.S. and the disease can only be contracted by someone exhibiting symptoms of the disease. Meaning if he wasn't exhibiting them, they weren't catching it. Also, you got to sneeze on the cough. It's all airborne, I think.
I was going to say, man, that...
I think.
Ugh.
I know, either way, right?
It's a flight I'd end up on, man. Just my luck.
Mm-hmm.
I sit next to the guy with Ebola.
The guy going to Vegas with Ebola, because Vegas. Frieden says he was confident there would be no Ebola outbreak in the U.S. There's no doubt in my mind we'll stop it here, he said for the fourth time. So, doctor, what do you think? There's no doubt we will stop it here.
It's fine. We're fine. We're fine. We're fine here.
Beep,
how are you?
Beep,
we're fine.
Boop, beep. He's a robot. Mexicans, this is a great headline.
All right.
Mexico's Hoardley Potter.
What?
Is the world's biggest Harry Potter collector.
Oh, gotcha. Hoardley Potter,
because he's hoarding it all.
Right.
A Mexico City man. What's his power? Mexico City man.
Finds it hard to get around in one of the most populous cities on Earth, Excelsior.
It's a terrible power, but what are you going to do when you're there?
Yeah, well, you know. We haven't given him his origin issue yet, so we don't know how he got those powers.
You know how good, for some, you know how certain words just feel good to say? Like I would say, trumpet feels good. Feels good to say trumpet. Or let me think of another one. Guts.
Chalupa.
Yes. They have a flow to them. A diction that just feels right.
I
think Mexico City man feels really good. There's something really robust about it. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
He is in Hogwarts heaven after his collection of Harry Potter memorabilia was named the world's largest. Menahem Ashir Sylvia Vargas.
Wow.
Courthouse. Has spent nearly 15 years hoarding all the things related to British author J.K. Rowling's young adult wizard fantasy series, which spawned 8 blockbuster films. His collection fills 2 rooms and counts everything from magic wands to toy figurines to Gryffindor scarves and replica Quidditch brooms. Guinness Book of World Records officially recognized it on Monday as the number one with over 3,097 pieces. The old mark was 807. That poor guy. That nerd.
Wow. There's a bit of a gap between first and second place.
Yeah, nerds all. Don't get us wrong. But
so all you need is 808 and you can at least be in second place in Guinness Book of World Records.
That's right. Speaking of chalupas, I don't mean to go back to this, but I went to Taco Bell the other day. I don't do it very often anymore, but occasionally I'll get like a chicken thing or something.
Yeah, we did 6 of them.
They have a new burrito thing. Cause you're right about how they have like 6 or 7 ingredients and they just reshape
them. They just put them in a different order. It's like, oh, try our new Taco Rito Chalada.
Yeah. It's complete
garbage.
Where we
put the cheese on first and then we put the meat.
Yeah. Every once in a while they'll put some weird ingredient in there, but most of the time it's the 7 things. And this thing is, I don't know what you call it, but it's almost like, okay, imagine a burrito being flattened, but not like the parallel flattening. Imagine end to end, it being just and squished into a disc.
Okay.
They have something like that now. It's got a crispy thing in the middle of it, and it's amazingly good.
You're not talking about the...
It has a name. I just don't know.
Crunchwrap Supreme?
Maybe, but is it a cylinder? Is it like an octagon-looking thing that's been squished?
Yes.
That's the one. That's like so good.
They took a tostada, put it in a put it on top of a tortilla, and then folded the tortilla all around it.
Yeah, right? And it reminds me of like a lost Dharma Initiative symbol. Is what it looks like.
it's the Crunchwrap station.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got the Hydra station. We've got the Looking Glass. We've got the Aero station. Yeah. Oh, over here is the Crunchwrap Supreme station.
Yeah, that's the one. It was so good.
Free Frograd. It is really good. That's been around for like 3 years.
Oh, has it? Okay. Yeah. I don't go there enough to say it, but man, so good.
You should try consuming six of those in an Office Depot parking lot.
Thank you.
By the way, Office Depot and Office Max, now one company.
That's like Software Etc. and GameStop merger. Right. Or like there's other things like that.
Coke and Pepsi merging.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big whoop. What about Staples? They're like, F you guys, we're on our own.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
That's probably how they're combating Staples.
Here's how I combat Staples. I order fresh food from HelloFresh.com, who are now nationwide here in these states united. What?
That's a good way to do it. It's a good way to combat Staples.
I completely agree. If you're going to fight Sharpies and Post-it notes, what better way than to eat right? Go to HelloFresh.com right now. Make cooking fun again by picking recipes from actual chefs, having those farm fresh ingredients sent to your door, and 30 minutes later, you've got the meal of a lifetime. Visit HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. And I can guarantee if you live in the States now, they do. They do. The morning show code for this to save a little money, 50% off, in fact, for your first-time purchase, is MorningStream. 50% off. That's half, guys. Half. Go there right now. That's HelloFresh.com and the code MorningStream.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
by Flexo Poop.
I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I just wrote that because I realized at the last second we didn't have anything there. So I just
nice.
I think I saw a Futurama episode that had the Flexo robot that was like Bender but had a mustache or had a goatee, and that was the only difference.
Really, it was like the evil Bender, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. But then it turned out in the end that he was the nice one and Bender was the jerk. It was great.
By the way, Katrina in the Tadpool confirms that the Crunchwrap Supreme has been around for 9 years.
Oh, I've not been paying attention then.
It is good though. It's a fine choice at the Taco Bell.
Let's see here. Let's skip down here. Oh, by the way, speaking of Mendoza, there's a little Mendoza talk in the chat today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous because some of the geese have been going south.
Mm. They've been leaving.
Haven't seen him leave, though. These are all the white, like, straight-up normal-ass-looking geese, not the weird, knobby-headed, goofy, whatever's wrong with him, Mendoza-looking goose. So he hasn't left yet, as far as I know. But I'm going to keep checking.
Okay.
I'm doing it for you guys, okay? All right. AC/DC gets some bad news. Malcolm Young... he is the guitarist for AC/DC. He's the brother to the other Young brother, right? Aren't they brothers?
Yes, they're definitely brothers.
All right. Well, Malcolm Young is suffering from dementia, according to family.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. There's talk and no confirmation, but talk that hard drug living years contributed to this one. The family of AC/DC's Malcolm Young confirmed to People magazine. I'm glad they put people in capital so I knew it wasn't just people.
Confirmed by people.
Okay, by people. Just people. We trust them. The guitarist has left the band because he is suffering from dementia. Malcolm is suffering from a form of dementia, and the family thanks you for respecting their privacy, Young's relative said in a statement in the magazine on Tuesday. Young, who co-founded the band with brother and AC/DC frontman Angus Young. He's not frontman. He's not the frontman.
Guitarist.
He's another guitarist, but it's the front man would be Brian Williams or
Brian Johnson.
Johnson. Oh, I say Brian Williams for some reason.
You should probably get Brian Johnson correct.
Yeah, because Williams is a news guy and Johnson is my last
name. Thank you for listening to AC/DC. I'm Brian Williams.
Tonight in the news.
Tonight. You shook me all night long. And dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
We have synchronized our menses, Brian. I don't know why. This happens. You do enough shows together, and
I've never tried. I don't think I've tried a Brian Williams before.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. He announced he's taking a break in April, and the move became permanent last week. It's just too bad. He'd been moved to a nursing home. Oh, that's not cool.
This just in: TNT is dynamite.
Wow.
More that, later.
More. Thunderstruck. Who made who? At 11, Steve Young, not Steve Young, not the not famed football
right,
star
not,
Steve Young,
not Steve Young from BYU.
Yeah, not Utah football genius.
Legend.
49ers
football
winning.
Genius.
Yeah, football genius Steve Young. But Stevie Young, this is Angus and Malcolm's nephew. He played guitar on the last album and will join them on tour. So they've got it covered. It's kind of like Van Halen does this, right? With they got Eddie's nephew or something or son.
Oh, right. Wolfgang. Wolfgang is now a guitarist.
Right. That's right. Yes. Is he spawn of him and Valerie Bertinelli?
I don't know if Wolfgang is.
Could have been from a tour date somewhere with some lady.
I will tell you because I'm curious about that information, too.
Well, see if you can track that down.
Well, Wolfgang Van Halen, only the fourth most popular Wolfgang. Can you name two of the other three?
Puck.
Yes.
The old radio dude in the 70s, the Wolfman, Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Jack? Is
Wolfgang
that who you're
Jack,
thinking of?
Yeah. Is he on there?
No. Wolfman Jack.
Oh, Wolfman, not Wolfgang Jack. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Wolfgang.
And yes, he is the son of Valerie Bertinelli.
All I can think of is Puck. Who else?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Oh, well, I didn't know it went back that far. All right.
Google goes back pretty far.
I just mean like people's popularity of it. What was the other one? There's another one? I said there were four.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, there were three. Yeah, let me pull it back up here.
Because this is so damn important.
Wolfgang Gartner. I don't know who Wolfgang Gartner is.
I don't either. Someone who is more famous than the
other
guy.
Musician. He is... American DJ and music producer.
Dice Tomato yelled out River Phoenix. That makes perfect sense. Nice job. Our chat room is really truly the best thing that's ever happened. Tracy Morgan fires back at Walmart. Pew pew. On Monday, Walmart issued a filing stating the actor, comedian Tracy Morgan and fellow passengers injured in a June highway accident. You remember that? We talked about it right here on the show.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Totally remember that. Yeah.
Company truck. Says they were at least partly to blame for their injuries and not wearing seat belts. Now Morgan has released a statement after spending weeks in rehab recovering from rib and leg injuries. I kind of want to do it in his voice, but I can't do his voice.
To begin with a Liz Lemon. You know?
Liz Lemon.
Liz Lemon. After I heard what Walmart said in court, I felt I had to speak out. I can't even do it.
I know. He gets lost without Liz Lemon.
Brian Fellows.
I can't believe Walmart is blaming me for an accident they caused, unquote. My friends and I were doing nothing wrong. I want to thank my fans for sticking with me during this difficult time. I love you all. I'm fighting hard every day to get back, yo.
Good.
Yeah, Walmart, take a little responsibility.
Exactly, yeah.
Tweaked Audio, today's one of the sponsors of today's show. TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com. Oh, man. Get some sweet new earbuds to go with that brand new iPhone 6 or that sweet new Note 4. I guess it doesn't come out till next year. I don't know when that comes out. You Android people with your constant releases, yeah.
It is going to be ginormous.
It's going to be big. Get a bigger pocket. they'll sound great in that. Great earbuds, great prices, and less because you love us. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Let's take a break. When we come back, recommendals with Nicole, Tom's Tech Time, and your emails. Brian, what music hath thou wrought?
This one is going to go out to Zachary, wrote in, said, Akamagosh, Blade Fist and Shao Hao.
Wow.
On October 1st, I'll be turning 21. However, much like Scott, there's no comma, drinking doesn't interest me. So I'll be just like any other day, or it'll be just like any other day, as I start a streak of my own. Anyway, two of my favorite bands are Panic at the Disco and My Chemical Romance. So any cover of or by them would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance and slow the flow, though.
All right.
Signed, Zachary. Happy birthday, Zachary. Happy big 21st birthday.
I agree. That's amazing.
Yeah. Don't have a drink on me, I guess. The way to say that. So Panic at the Disco, a few covers, notable covers from them. They did one of the covers from the Nightmare Before Christmas album that cover album that came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did a cover of This Is Halloween. I don't know why I don't have that in my library anymore, but when I did a search for it, it was missing. So I'll have to research that one later. But what I do have is this cover they did for AOL Sessions back in 2008. It's a cover of the band's The Wait. Great song. Robbie Robertson, the band.
All right.
Unsung 60s and 70s classics. And if you have not seen the movie The Last Waltz, it is a great introduction and goodbye to the band, and will make you fully appreciate them. The Last Waltz.
The Last Waltz.
It was about their last concert, and it was directed by Martin Scorsese. Oh. And it's excellent.
Oh, wow. I've not heard of or seen this. So
great music documentary.
Cool. Does somebody get their head in a vice and then hit with a baseball bat in that movie?
I can't tell you because it could be a spoiler.
Okay. Well, good deal. Good fellas, everybody. Go look it up. here it is. It's The Wait, and we'll be back right after this.
Pulled into Nazareth, I was feeling about half past dead. I just need to find a place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and then he shook my hand, and no one's all he said. Take a load off, Eddie. For free, take a load off Annie, and you put the load right on me. I picked up my bag, I went looking for a place to hide. When I saw Carmen and the devil walking side by side, yeah. I said, hey, come up, come on, let's go downtown. She said, baby, I gotta go, but my friend the devil can't stick around, yeah. Take a load off Annie, take a load for free, take a load off Annie. Miss Moses, there's nothing that you can say. It's just so Luke, and Luke is waiting on a judgment day. Well, Luke, my friend, what about young Adam Lee? He said, you do me a favor, son, won't you stay and keep Annie company? Take a load off Annie. For free, take a load off Annie, and you put the load right on me. Take a load off Annie.
Aha, very funny. No, it's the name of the different sites you can look up on the internet.
Hold on, sis. Let's start at the beginning like Dad did with us. So Andrew and Lisa will be able to persuade their parents about the internet with some important facts.
Good idea, Peter, but where do we start?
Let's start with the basics first. There are three important services you can access on the internet. Surfing the World Wide Web.
Surfing? That sounds pretty cool already.
Andrew, don't interrupt. Go on, Peter.
Then there are news groups to share information with people, and then there's email.
Email? I heard that's really neat. My cousin has a pen pal in Sweden, and they write back and forth, and it transmits right away and doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, you can even talk with people all over the world on chat lines.
I really, really
huge penis.
Mountain grown for richer flavor. This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, gosh. My mic was muted, but I had a good time with that. Made me laugh.
Unchap lines.
Billy, shut up and let him talk. I love how she shuts down her brother. It's awesome.
News groups, they're awesome.
Email, I've heard of that. Such a different time. All right. Hey, we're back, and we mean business. That's right. Mm-hmm. We're here to do what we do, and we really don't know how to do it, so we're just going to wing it here. It's Nicole time.
Yay!
I'm familiar with her work. Hold on. Here we go. All right. I wish this was a one-click button, but it's not. It's just how it is, folks. All right. Let's get her little thing queued up. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Fresh fried taters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Ladies and germaphobes, sidle on up and listen to a tale told by the wonderfully talented and always here on Wednesday, Nicole's Bag. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How are
Hello.
You?
Hello.
How are things?
Good.
Have
good.
You seen that Don Cheadle show that I was talking about earlier that's on Showtime?
With, no, I haven't chance to see it yet.
Okay, it's crap. Well, I think it is. Everyone's just mean in it. Like, everyone's just mean and rude and lame and self-centered and rich and obnoxious and I don't know.
Jerks.
And I love Kristen Bell and I really like Don Cheadle. This is just a bad vehicle for them to be in. Anyway.
Have you seen the other one, Shameful, with William H. Macy?
Yes. Now that, okay, here we go. That's a show I really like a lot.
Shameless, yeah.
Shameless. I really like that show. And I don't know what the difference is. So there's an example of a bunch of dysfunction that I can get my head around. And again, I think it's because most everybody has their heart in the right place. In this other thing?
Not so much.
Everyone's just a giant dick. and that's all they know. They don't know any other way.
Right.
In the same way that the Californication just doesn't know any other way to be other than a narcissistic, sexist, butthole jerk face fart.
Why do you think people watch this? Do you think they watch it and can relate, or they watch it and go, whoa, I'm so glad I have it?
I don't know. I mean, part of it is that. And I'm perfectly willing to admit it may just totally be not my cup of tea, right? But I think that there's something to be said for some people just like to see other people act that way. They wouldn't necessarily be that way themselves, but that's interesting to see how that world goes.
But you could say the same thing for video games, right?
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily go in and massacre everybody and
steal a car and drive it around a city
exactly
prostitutes.
Exactly.
But hey,
I guess it's just that I feel like it's because I know people like that or have known people like that in my life, and it's just gross. I'd rather
it's a
be around
too close to home, right?
Maybe
it's,
I just want people who are genuine and nice and will have problems but can get over those. And you know, there's so many TV shows that I could do that with, and that Cheeto thing, ugh. It's
like
it's a bad offender.
United States of Terra. That was a great show.
I never saw it.
That was a wonderful show. Mm-hmm. Multiple personalities. She had multiple personalities.
This was Toni Collette, right?
Toni Collette. Yep. Everybody was just a little broken, you know. But everybody kind of it was all about the family.
I'll tell you what. That's why I like Parenthood so much, because Parenthood is everybody's broken in some way or another. And sometimes it's out of their own control. Some of it isn't their own control. Sometimes just like, oh, why are you doing that? This old behavior is coming up again or whatever. But
except
in the
Crosby.
End.
Well, he knows he's broken. He doesn't do a damn thing about it.
Freaking Crosby. But you've got, it always comes back to, not that I need everything to be nice and neat at the end, but I relate more to like, hey, yeah, you've got your issues, but you've got each other's backs too. And people are going to back you up and help you out. And That show rings so true to me. Like, that's more real to me than something like Californication is. Mm-hmm. Where is that a normal life for somebody?
California, apparently.
Ugh. That's why I hate LA for other reasons, but that's one reason I just. If that's the LA that exists, I don't want to go there.
Right.
Bleh. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to drag this out
again.
I wonder
how many people moved out to LA thinking that they could live the Californication life.
Yeah. Well, you got to wonder, right? I mean, maybe Duchovny lived it. Maybe that's why, what's her name? Scully, she got out of town. She went to.
Not Scully.
Are you talking to T. Leone or
No,
or Scully?
I don't care about her. I'm talking about Scully.
Gillian Anderson. Yeah. Okay.
I'm saying Gillian Anderson, she got the hell out. She went to Britain. She went to live in London. She's like, I don't need this. I don't need this.
They just did a TV show together. They weren't married.
No, I know. No. That's not my point. I don't mean why they broke up. I mean, he went this direction. She went that direction. I'm completely making it up, obviously. I have no idea. For all I know, she's a crazy person and eats rabbits for dinner that are live or something. I don't know what she does. But she's in Britain, and sometimes when I see actors or actresses do that, it makes me think that they, just get the hell out of the rat race. You know, it's like Harrison Ford's ranch in, where is it? Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's like, get the hell out of here, man. This place sucks.
Huey Lewis lives up in, I think, in one of the Dakotas.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, he needed a new drug. I love Huey Lewis. I was just listening to Huey Lewis like yesterday, like their greatest hits. I can't get enough of those guys. They're fantastic.
Hey, I have two bits of news that I don't know if you talked about that I just wanted to bring up. Something major just happened with Netflix. Mm. Did you guys talk about Crouching Tiger
2?
Oh, no, we haven't talked about that.
All right.
Cool. What's happening?
Netflix. So Netflix they've been getting into the TV area, right? They've been releasing original shows solely on Netflix. Well, they've just gotten into the movie area, and they have secured the rights for Crouching Tiger 2. So Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2. It's called The Green Legend. Hmm. It's going to be released on Netflix simultaneously with the theater. So in IMAX theaters on August 28th, 2015.
Is this being made? Is it directed by
Ang Lee?
Ang Lee? Is this or is anyone involved that was in the first one, I wonder, or any of that?
I'm not sure.
Because to me, that makes a big difference here.
Right.
If this is just some crap weird.
Directed by Yoon Woo Ping.
All right. Well, at least he's
known for his Matrix trilogy and Kill Bill work.
Oh, great. Hold on a minute. Let me think about that. Oh, you know what he's famous for? I'm looking him up here. He is mostly choreographer guy. That's probably okay, though, because that's what that movie is, basically. Yeah.
But the big thing is it's going to be released at the same time as the theaters on Netflix.
Yeah, some people are pissed about it. AMC Entertainment has joined other major exhibitors, not AMC the channel, AMC the movie theater chain, and other exhibitors are up in arms, and they say they will not offer Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Green Legend on their IMAX screens next year when it debuts on Netflix.
La di da.
They're pissed.
Should watch to make sure it's
because 16. They think they'll spend all this money to get the movie, and people will just stay at home and watch it for free on streaming.
Well, that's what I'll do. I mean, they're right. They're kind of right. I mean, why would I go to the theater if I've already got Netflix and I can watch this there for my $7 a month, fee that I pay?
I'm loving seeing the companies kind of dip their toes in. You know, you had this with Snowpiercer being released in the theaters and on video on demand. And this is a big deal. I mean, this is the streaming service. So if you are a part of Netflix, you're going to be able to watch this.
Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. So I can see one side of their argument. And that's this. They may not have another choice. This may be just the way business goes and they're going to have to adapt. But this really does undercut them. Like they make their money by bodies coming in and buying tickets and sitting in their seats and buying concessions. Right. They don't make a dime if everybody stays home and watches it on Netflix. So this is a big ticket name, potentially maybe bigger than other movies that have been experimented in this way with, like Snowpiercer's pretty low level knowledge.
And that was video on demand. That
was not quite the same. Yeah.
Right.
Whereas Netflix is, a huge install base. And it's a movie people recognize and all that.
This is why you're seeing so many commercials before the movie that are trying to direct you less to go to the lobby and get a snack and more towards, hey, you should be watching movies in the theater, not on little tiny screens at home. So come to the movies more.
Well, that's what they say. But now I'll watch that on a 70-inch, great sound system at home. And it'll look great on Netflix because Netflix looks really good on my stuff. So I see where they're coming from as a distress point. But I also think that this is the way market changes happen, and you got to kind of get used to it. It's kind of like, this is the first console generation where all the new games are available day and date digitally. And Steam's been doing this for years, obviously, and other services. But the idea that I could just download Shadow of Mordor on my PS4 for 60 mm-hmm. bucks and not go to a Walmart and pick it up or get it at a GameStop or whatever, that is slowly being an accepted thing. But remember, just a few years ago when that was even suggested, retailers freaked out mm-hmm. because nobody was going to come in and get their disc anymore.
Freaking out or something. Mm-hmm. I remember something with Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart was all mad, and you know these there were threats from, I don't remember who it was, maybe yeah. GameStop or somebody, about what they were going to do to combat it. But now it's sort of accepted, and you just sort of do it, and it's the way the market's going to go. And I don't hear anybody really freaking out now.
Yeah.
But as a gamer, I love it. But I'm sure not going to GameStop ever. Like, I don't go there anymore. So mm-hmm. I feel like this is just like that, except the stakes are a lot bigger and a lot more mainstream. And it's going to get a little worse before it gets better. And the more experimentation we see, the more these guys are going to push back. And who can blame them? It's their entire business model.
Yeah.
It being threatened.
But if it's broken.
But is it broken? How is it broken?
Because I don't want to go to the theater and spend $60.
But that's broken for you because you don't want to go do that thing and you don't need that experience. But that's been, you know, 100 years of that experience or however long we've had.
Right. Maybe. But they need to, what we're saying is they need to adjust. All right. So maybe the ticket prices are a little too high, or maybe the concession prices are a little bit too high, or maybe there's not enough of a convenience factor with the movies. I think, you know, what we're seeing in Utah is on the right track with people buying pre-reserved seats.
Oh, that's the only way to do it, man.
Yeah. God, I know you got that in Arizona as well.
Yeah, we have one that we go
to. It's the only way to do it. It's the best.
Leather recliner seats.
Yeah. Sleep. You almost said sleep, which sleep. Is exactly.
Woman next to me did fall asleep. Yeah.
Leather
that
sleep.
That would be so hard. Dark theater, recliner. That's how I sleep at home.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. This is the way of things, and it will change whether they like it or not. I'm not saying that is bad or anything like that. I am not of the ilk to say, oh, theaters are full. They're just a bunch of money grubbing douchebags in suits. They just have a business model that is being threatened. And they have
to step it up. They have to make the experience awesome. And you're seeing a lot of theaters out there changing their business model. Gone are the days of just kind of shuffling everybody in.
I agree. And that they have to. You're totally right about that. You're totally right about that. And so this isn't me defending them by any means. And what I'm saying is they're not doing anything. There's no weird nefarious thing that we can't wait to screw those guys on because they've been screwing us for years. That's just the business model, and they're going to have to change it to adapt. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But I get why they're pissed. But yeah, whatever, man. I'm going to be watching Crouching Chicken Funky Dragon 2.
It's a great sequel title.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
I'll watch that. Why not? I liked the first one okay. I remember it had a cough in it. My sister Wendy and I went to see it, and it was like, what was that, 01 or something? It was forever ago. And we were sitting in the theater, and I could not stop this hacking cough I'd gotten from this cold. She said, from then on, Wendy said, yeah, me and my brother went and saw Coughing Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And that's all she'll refer to it as now, as Coughing Tiger.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Well, hey, one last thing. If you use Chrome, there is an awesome new Chrome plugin called Flix Plus that really helps your Netflix queue. And does some really cool customizations, like putting next to like all the movies that you're going to be streaming when they expire.
Oh, and I could use this.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's cool.
And you can use it to then manually sort your playlist. So your my list of all your movies that you're wanting to watch. Because I just dump movies into my list all the time. This actually gives you the ability to manually move things around, sort it by date, sort it by length. You can do all kinds of cool stuff with it. It's a really cool add-on to Chrome. And I'm
stoked about this.
Yeah. I'm installing and running it right now. Look at that.
Me too. Look at this. This is great.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure you guys knew about it because I started using it and I'm like, this is the best thing ever.
Wow.
And it does a really cool thing. So if you've already watched something, on the front screen, it'll gray out the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Fade watched. Wow. Yeah. Fade rated.
So that basically hijacks the site and makes it easier to use.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Hey, Netflix, cool. Take some notes.
All right.
Hide potential episode spoilers. Hide post play.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. How cool is that? That they will hide the spoiler images.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Huh.
Because sometimes they put, you know, stuff into the feed on the page that you're like, oh man, I didn't want to see that. That kind of tells me what's going to happen.
Did you guys know there was a third season of Comic Book Men? I had no idea. Anyway, just something I noticed.
Well, they just finished recording another season. So would that be the fourth?
It says third season here, and it just put it on there. I didn't know there were more than two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's third, there's second and third on here. They don't have the first season on here, and
yeah, there's probably it always feels like a little bit of a forced drama kind of thing.
What you got there? I got a freaking 1922 Incredible Hulk fart knucker thing.
I just walked in, and you had no idea that I was showing up with this thing.
And
wow.
Then, like always, it's like, how much you want for it? I was hoping like $200. Oh, I couldn't give you that. I mean, I could write these shows
exactly.
This and Pawn Stars, the same damn show. But whatever, it's for nerds. Anyway, that's cool, Nicole. What a sweet idea this is. This is great.
Yep, I love it. All right, you ready for your recommendals?
Yeah, recommend them. What do you got?
Okay, so it's October 1st.
Yeah, yes. It is Halloween
time. I've already started celebrating Halloween. My house is completely decorated.
Oh, wow, really?
I have a 2-year-old child that I got to keep busy on the weekends. So we do, I'm like, come on, let's decorate for the holiday. So that's what we did this past weekend.
All right.
So I thought I'd kick the month off with some supernatural movies.
Ooh, like it. The scary ones or just supernatural ones? A little of both?
Yeah, a little of both.
All right.
So the first one I'm going to recommend is scary, but it's for kids. I would recommend maybe 10 years old because it's kind of, it's the 2012 film Paranorman.
I love that movie.
It's so great, but it's very dark, isn't it?
Yeah, very dark. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't show it to Mateo. I think it might be a little too spooky for him.
We were talking about it last night or yesterday, Brian. We were talking about Henry Selick and his movies.
Yes, Henry Selick.
Yeah, love his stuff. Anyway.
So, adorable movie about a weird little kid named Norman who can see dead people. And this is all, it's claymation, right?
It's stop motion. Yeah.
Stop motion. Yeah. 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 And they live in a town. Is it Salem?
Forget. Probably.
I think it is Salem.
Yeah, that would make sense. Thematically, you know.
And a bunch of, I guess, zombies are risen from the dead. And, it's adorable, scary, dark. I really enjoyed it. Little movie. So, Coraline. Remember Coraline?
No, same dude. Same guy.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, same animation director guy, Henry Selick. He's involved in all those Tim Burton stuff and then this. And, he's great.
And thanks to Flix Plus, I know that you've got until October 18th. To watch Paranorman on streaming.
Oh, that sucks. They pull it right before the holiday.
That is lame. Oh, I'm glad I'm recommending it then.
Yes. Hurry
to watch
and watch
it again this weekend.
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Really fun little movie.
I like that one. That's a good one.
TV Egon in the chat room said Paranorman was right about on the limit for Brody, who's 7. So 7 and up, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, even my 16 at the time year old daughter came away from it going, that was a little scarier than I expected. Yeah. And she's 16, so
every kid is different. So judge accordingly based on your own child.
Yeah,
even Coraline was that was a dark,
dark movie.
Mm-hmm. Dark little button eyes. Oh my goodness,
love that movie though, man. So good. Any of the Henry Selick stuff? If people haven't seen for a while, James and the Giant Peach, do yourself a favor. What a freaking wonderful, freaking weird movie that is. So good. Anyway, continue.
All right. So the next one. we reviewed on Movielicious a long, long time ago, and I rewatched it. And it's when did it come out? I guess it was about 2011, 2012. Anyway, The Woman in Black with Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh.
So this was based off of a theater production, and at the time I didn't know that. And Daniel Radcliffe, this is one of his first roles kind of out of the Harry Potter.
It was,
Doing kind of different things. So I think that was another kind of shock to my system, seeing him not as Harry Potter. He plays a widowed lawyer, and he's sent to a town in a remote village to kind of find out sort out some things with a recently deceased person. And when he gets there, just weird stuff's happening. The town is kind of shunning him, and he ends up going on like kind of like an investigator. What's happening in this town? What's happening in this old abandoned house? And there's a woman in black, and yada yada yada.
So, all right.
She seeks out vengeance, so you're not supposed to see her. Don't look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And it revolves around children dying.
What?
So
that's dark.
Yeah, it's a creepy, freaky, weird, suspenseful movie.
Good though.
What's that?
Good.
On the first go, I think I gave it a meh. Yeah. Maybe even a lame, but I don't know. It's the kind of movie that kind of stuck with me, so I watched it again.
Yeah.
And a few years later, and it's not. I don't think it's great, but I can't say suspenseful this morning.
Sure you can. Just say Don Cheeto. There you go. That's it.
So it's got a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and 6.5 on IMDb. So right about two thirds.
Sure. That's usually good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. If you like those movies that you're kind of not sure what's going to happen, and you're going along with the character to uncover the deep secrets of the town and stuff like that. So that's kind of what the movie is.
All right. Well, there's your big number two.
Yeah, there's number two.
I love a big number two. Anyway, yeah. Next one. Third.
And finally, I'm going to go classic here.
All right.
The 1984 film, Stephen King's Children of the Corn.
We saw that for Film Sack. Yeah. Is it Mordecai? Malachi. Yeah.
Malachi. I'm sorry.
Malachi.
Yeah.
So the reason why I decided to pick this one, it's more nostalgia for me. Because as a child, I wanted to see this movie so badly, so badly that I hung upside down from our stairs.
This is your way of saying, like, I'm gonna hold my breath until we go see Children of the Corn.
Well, my mom wanted to preview it before she let me watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as she was previewing it, I still watched it from upstairs.
You literally hung upside down to see it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yes. Oh yeah. Okay. Now I get how.
So
we
had kind of our stairs were open, and I hung over the ledge, and I was really into scary movies at the time as a kid. I really loved scary.
That's brilliant. I love this story.
And I'm a big fan of Stephen King. Mm-hmm. There are a number of Stephen King movies streaming right now. So Carrie is streaming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think those are the only two.
Pet Cemetery is always like kind of in there for a while and then out again or whatever. But once in a while, if you just check, you'll find Pet Cemetery hanging around on there.
Yeah. Did you know Stephen King's coming out with a new book this summer?
Yeah, I heard. What was it? Oh, crap. Somebody even told me the title. Or maybe we were thinking of something else. Oh, no. You know what I'm thinking of is that JFK time travel thing's getting converted into a TV show.
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that on the show. Mm-hmm.
What's this new book? Do you know?
I just read about it last night.
Under the Dome 2. Let's bleed this for all it's worth.
Oh, God.
No,
under the dome.
Yeah, back. Another dome. Wow.
I can't remember.
I love Stephen King, so bring it. I want it to be weird, though. I don't want... Once in a while, he'll experiment and go, this is my first foray. This is my first foray into boring relationship books or something. I want him to stick to something just gnarly and weird. I want another book like The Cell or something.
Oh, here it is. It's called Revival.
Revival. Uh-oh. He hates religion. Watch out. Watch out, everybody. Watch out. It's what Stephen King does. Every one of his stories that are any good always has some crazy religious person. I'll bet this isn't a whole book about crazy religious people. That's what I'll bet.
What was the Regulators? There was like Regulators and there was another one. Remember the Regulators being a really good book as well.
I don't remember that at all. The only one I never really liked was Rose Matter. I did not like that book.
Oh, I liked that one.
I didn't like that one. I don't know why.
I never read that one.
I didn't like it. It was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've almost loved everything else kind of uniformly, but I did not like that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it said the Entertainment Weekly article on his new book, a dark and electrifying novel about addiction, fanaticism, and what might exist on the other side of life.
All right. Well, there's the revival part I was thinking of. Yeah, if you, yeah, Stephen King does not. I'm trying to think. It's one of his tropes. If he gets a chance to have, like in The Mist, do you ever read the short story The Mist or see the movie?
I saw the movie.
Maria Gay Harden, or what's her name?
Marcia Gay Harden.
Gay Hardon.
Marcia.
Marcia.
Rubbing off on you.
So to speak. She plays a completely crazy, they're trapped in like a 7-Eleven basically, and she plays this crazy religious fanatic, and he loves playing with that trope. That's something he does. So yeah. It sounds like a whole book about that. That'll be fun. Anyway.
I didn't realize there was a movie for Desperation.
I don't know. Is there?
Because Desperation and The Regulators came out at the same time.
Yeah, that's back when he was just shoving stuff out.
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
Remember
when he said he was going to quit writing? Remember that?
Yeah.
Now he writes more than he's ever written.
Exactly. It's like the Eagles farewell tour.
Yeah. And if you want to do something just a slightly weird thing, go read his son's comic book, Lock and Key. And I know Mark's a huge fan of this too. Yeah, his son wrote it. It is fan-freaking-tastic.
Amazing.
So good. There was a show for a while, then it got canned before the pilot got done, and then there was talk of more, maybe a movie. I don't know where that thing is in development, but it was so good. It's worth like some kind of adaptation. I hope they do it. It's fantastic.
I really hope they do something with that, because that's a great story.
Yeah, and the artist. Oh, I just love that. Brian, you should put that in your list for comics you want to read.
It's on my list. Yeah, I had no idea there was a connection there. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Brian, I'm going to keep asking you, did you finish Snowpiercer?
I have not started yet, but I do. Well, I'm in the middle of reading time has been replaced with watching Raising Hope time. But here, right here in my hands.
I know you got it. Showed last week. I'm going to keep asking you until you finally read it.
So good. It looks like it's going to be a quick read. It's like
a very quick read.
All right.
Yeah, so quick weed.
Well, I did just finish season one of Raising Hope. So maybe I'll sandwich these books in between season one, season two of Raising Hope.
This is how fast a read that series is. I read it on the weekend while taking care of Mateo.
Wow.
Wow.
Pretty speedy. Okay. But she has weird memories of it. It's like there's a train, then there was a diaper, and then there was like someone threw up, and then...
Mateo's not in diapers anymore.
No, that's right. He's older now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pooping on the potty. Yeah. Like his dad. That's awesome.
I remember that scene in Snowpiercer where I had to keep the kid out of the power outlet. That was a great scene.
Yeah, keep him from eating rubber plant leaves and stuff.
Want a Quizzler?
Yeah, oh, Quizzler. Yes. Quizzler, go.
I thought I'd preempt the...
preempt the forgetness?
Yes.
Hold on, I've got a theme for your Quizzler. Hold on. Do I? You want me to use that one I used earlier because I like it a lot. Here you go. It's a Quizzler, everybody. Go.
Okay, here you go.
All right.
Come out wherever you are.
The Shining.
Right. No, that's Cape Fear, right?
Nope, The Shining.
It was The Shining.
Okay.
Yeah. I can hear him say that one because he's out in the snow. Ugh, the maze. I hate mazes.
Oh, he's not in the snow yet.
Oh, well, then the maze is in the movie anyway, and I freaking hate mazes. I hate him so bad. You know what movie I'll never see?
Cape Fear, though.
The Maze Runner. Never. I'll never see it.
Why?
Because
you don't like mazes.
Because it's full of the whole point of the movie is mazes. Can deal when it's a side thing. Like at least Labyrinth had weird floaty balls and a strange crotch thing on him and all
that
this.
Was all about a maze.
Yeah, but I don't know. There were more puppets. They helped me forget there was a maze. This thing is straight up maze 100% of the time. I'm not interested.
I didn't realize you had a deep fear of mazes.
I don't have fear of them. I just hate them. Like a Denny's menu for kids with like all the mazes you have to use a crayon on. I just want to burn that when I walk in there. Wow. I don't know what it is. I hate mazes.
Love that.
Scott,
that's so weird
Scott
to me.
Was whacked with a Highlights magazine when he was four.
I hate him. I don't like it. And if you give me a video game where there's any sort of maze to worry about, F off. I don't want to play your game. Anyway. Nicole, it's always a pleasure. Nicole Spag on Twitter. I'll be on Nerd Parents later this morning.
Yeah, you will be.
Looking forward to that. And I'm very much looking forward to it, actually. And Carrie will be there, and you'll be there, and it'll be fun. Let's talk about some parent stuff. How about that?
Yay. Of course.
Nicole Spag, everybody on Twitter, follow her. And that's it. Nicole, have a great Halloween month.
Well, bye now. There's three more.
Bye. I guess there are three more.
Yes, we'll have her back next Wednesday to talk more about you know,
Halloween movies. Sure, sure. Of course. Yes. All right. It's time to get the detective on the air. That's Ace Detect himself.
The detective of Aceness.
That's right. I'll bet there's a little Windows something today. Who knows? But here's the thing.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, as always, is one Tom Merritt. And Tom, I'd like to just welcome you formally to this Wednesday episode of The Morning Stream. How are you doing?
Thank you, Mr. Justin. Thank you, Mr. Ribbit.
What a welcome, man. Wow.
Pretty, a lot of fanfare, a lot of freaking out.
On behalf of myself, my wife, and my two dogs, I would like to gratefully accept your welcome.
I'd like to get back, having just watched John Adams again, I wouldn't mind getting back to a time where formality was a little more kind of in the day. Because there's something fun about it. I know it creates a lot of stifling and a lot of people unable to express themselves properly, but there's something I miss about, you know, please welcome one Tom Merritt. You know him from such things as whatever, and then we're not all in shorts and t-shirts. You know what I mean?
The opinions of the gentleman from Utah hold great value and deserve examination.
Except back then, they were always yelling and pounding tables and stuff, like more like Parliament.
Well, at least that's what HBO would like us to believe.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
One wonders just how much there was of that. I think it's because previously all of those times were shown as so perfectly formal. Yeah. That now HBO and others doing period pieces like, no, people had emotions back there. Let's show that. But who knows how?
Really. Yeah, the accuracy is always in question. But I did like HBO's treatment of everyone's complexion. They had the worst skin in the 1700s and 1800s. Just awful, pocky, like blotchy, white,
yeah, it was like skin. It was like me in high school for everyone.
That's right. Even our second president of these states united with his blotchy freaking teenager skin. It was brilliant. All right, Tom, you're here to talk about technology. Screw all that stuff about pop culture and history. Let's talk about technology. And the technology in question, I think, today is probably Windows related, is it not?
Yeah, you read my mind, man. Yeah. There's not a whole lot in the news today. There's not a huge amount. Nothing. None of those big things like there was yesterday with Microsoft announcing Windows 9 will never be released.
Yeah. Was it actually a thing?
Secret operating
system.
But they're not saying, because I wondered, was it that it got scrapped, or are they just doing a rebranding thing to just take it as far from 8 as possible?
Honestly, it's just a rebranding thing, would be my guess. Yeah. They made a bunch of jokes about how Windows 9 was so perfect that they couldn't possibly release it, so they just went straight to 10.
Ooh, is it going to be like the Lost Prince album where, like,
in
10 years we're going to get a secret bootleg of Windows 9? Man,
check it out. It's an unmarked copy of Windows 9.
Yeah.
Plain silver DVD. Yeah. Right.
It's like finding Sylvester Stallone's old porn movie or whatever he was in.
Right. Well, those are streaming on Netflix. Those
That's
are
true.
Easy to
you
find.
Can get those
They're
now.
Quite easy.
My impression of it, my very cursory impression, is that they did exactly what I thought they would do, which is go back to a lot of why people stayed with 7. And kind of build out from that, but also retain some of this weird Metro 8 stuff, but in ways that are more nested in the traditional Windows experience. Is that kind of your impression as well?
Yeah. Patrick and Molly and I all kicked this around yesterday on Daily Tech News Show, and I think Molly pretty much nailed it, which is everything Microsoft said is exactly what we want, which is we're going to bring back the start menu. We're going to get rid of the charms bar surprise attacks when you're in desktop mode, when you accidentally mouse into the corner. We're going to make the desktop feel the way you want it to feel with improvements, right? It's not going to just be Windows 7. We're also going to add some live tiles to the start menu. And we're going to do some other things with multitasking and add virtual desktops. You know, welcome to 1995. But we're gonna listen to you, and we're gonna give you what you want, but we're not gonna compromise the touch experience of this. If you're on a touch device, or even if you're on a hybrid device and you remove the keyboard and start using the screen as a touch device, it'll switch to touch mode. It'll say, hey, do you want to switch to touch mode? And then when you click the start button, it will take you to the tile interface, just like it does in Windows 8. And you'll be able to use it well, and the charms bar will still be there. And so they're trying to do the best of both worlds. The question is, how well will that actually work in execution? Everything they said was what I want to hear as a Windows user.
Yeah.
So it just remains to be seen today. If you go to preview.windows.com, you can join the Microsoft Insider program at least some point today. Apparently, they're supposed to launch it and download a technical preview and try this out. And I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, I'm actually, I got to say, from just an aesthetic sort of artsy-fartsy perspective, I really like how it looks. I think the colors are awesome. That's a hard thing to do with desktop stuff without being gaudy or ridiculous. I think 8 was kind of ridiculous. This just looks really, really, really nice.
And, yeah, very clean.
Yeah, the flattening of the interface like everything is doing now these days was super nice. In fact, some could argue that the original Metro stuff in some ways pushed that forward because there wasn't a lot of that going on before Windows phones and
Before flat was cool.
Yeah, kind of. They're the hipsters of flat. The Hipsters of Flat is a great band name.
The Hipsters of Flat, yeah.
That needs
Hipsters
to be a band.
Hipsters of Flat is my Flat and Scruggs cover band.
Also, it's my two guys sitting out in the Salt Lake Desert cover band, whatever. So I don't know.
Tom wins.
I feel like I'm more inclined to upgrade, but I also feel like the numbering switch or them jumping ahead, I feel like there should be some meaning assigned to that. Like,
This is the company that tried to redefine Windows Me from meaning you to Millennium Edition their naming department has pulled some crazy ones over the years.
You picture them as like weird cubicles way at the end of the office complex and just like, all right, someone talk the naming department. This is terrible.
I mean, we used to make fun of Microsoft for naming everything Microsoft thing that it is. so at least they've departed a little bit from that.
There's one guy down in those cubicles still defending Clippy.
Yeah.
Just won't give up.
Yep.
I see you're trying to name a new Windows. Would you like some help with that? Shut up, Clippy.
His name is
Your
Clippy.
Your severance package is on the way.
That's right. Pink slip. Someone walk Clippy out to his car. I don't know. I kind of find myself weirdly excited about a new version of Windows, and I was completely didn't care about 8 or any of the 8 era, which is, only a couple of years now, I guess. But
I'm over my initial shock of, they're calling it Windows 10, because it really doesn't matter what they call it. What matters is how the operating system works. But there was a moment right when they announced, like right at the beginning, we couldn't call it Windows 9 because they walked you through like we have OneDrive and OneNote and Xbox One, but it wouldn't be right to call it Windows 1 because this guy already did it. And ha ha ha. And there's a picture of Bill Gates with, the original version of Windows on floppy disks.
Yeah.
And so they're like, so we're calling it Windows 10. And I'm like, what? It doesn't make any damn sense
at all. That's really
you
weird.
Just skip past 9 and you wanted to call it 1. So you called it 10?
Yeah.
Are you in base 9 suddenly?
Yeah. It's like, I think they got their decimal in the wrong place. I also think it'd be funny if next year they start releasing free updates and they name them after cats. And from now on, it's just Windows 10.
I asked him. That was the very last question in the press conference was, after the release, will further updates be named after big cats? And they went, ha, 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 no.
No. So in theory, there'll be an 11, a 12, or they'll skip it and go right to 14 or whatever.
Who knows? It may be, Windows Mountaintop and then Windows 15 and then, Windows, we're all doing it. Yeah, who knows what they're going to come up with? It really, it's once you've departed from version numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All bets are off.
Yeah.
Old as your oyster.
And it's weird. I mean, what Apple did with OS X is kind of weird. Like, it's a weird thing that Windows 10 is just a 10 point whatever are the updates, and then they've got cat names to denote them, or now California names.
Oh, we're out of cat names.
Yeah, we got to get to California. We got tons of California stuff.
Pictures
just call
mountains.
It drought is the next one, and then they'll move on to another state.
Right.
But my point is that they don't seem to – that seems to be also a really weird way of doing things. It's just we're so used to it because they've done it since – 2001 or whatever it was.
They're all marketing decisions. Yeah. None of them, like if the engineers were in charge, this would be Windows 7.3 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like it would be whatever version number, and I've lost track of where the versions are, but it would be that. And you can actually dig into the code and find out what the engineers consider it, but it's not, that has nothing to do with the name.
I'm glad,
and like I said, the name isn't the important thing. The important thing is what this thing's going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And it does feel like they're really emphasizing usability. And the other thing they're emphasizing is cross-platform. So they're really pushing this idea that Windows 10 will be the operating system for your phone, for your tablet, for your laptop, for your desktop, and it will adapt on those platforms. Now, under the hood, that means a lot of weird things, because if you have an ARM-based tablet, your Windows 10 is definitely not going to be the same Windows 10 that runs on your Intel x86-based laptop.
Yeah.
But I think what they're trying to say is one app store, one execution platform, and one brand name, yeah, so that you won't care if the kernel is compiled differently for your processor. All you'll care about is, hey, any of the apps that I bought on my laptop that can also work on the phone will be there. And I, as a developer, when I develop into the Windows App Store, can have the option to push it out to all kinds of platforms.
Right. And I, yeah, it's, to me, it's interesting because it's such a different approach for them as opposed to what Linux and Android do, or what OS X and iOS do, which is to say, here are complementary platforms, but they're definitely not. I mean, OS X is not running on your phone, or Linux, right, Red Hat is not running on your Android,
although,
phone.
Although Ubuntu does have a tablet and a phone version.
This is true. Yeah, that's true.
That is unified. So this is closer to what Ubuntu does, but it's not what Android does, right?
Yeah, I mean, not at all.
You've had some Android-based laptops, but they're kind of weird. It's pretty much a tablet phone.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
Google has Chrome OS that's meant for the laptop.
It's a bold move because, like you said, there's things under the hood that no one thinks about on a consumer level, but that really are they're big mountains to overcome in terms of creating that unification. So if they can pull that off, I say really good on them. That's awesome. And I also like that they're making so many of their services and products interoperable on other platforms that aren't theirs, way more than they used to. It used to be, hey, if you're not running a Microsoft thing, forget it. That thing won't run anywhere else. But they've really branched out. There's stuff on iPad. There's stuff on some Android stuff out there. Not nearly as much. I think they hate Google more than Apple now. But the point is that, you know, them being a little bit more open about their future in services and software is awesome. And I'm excited. My gaming PC is looking at me right now going, hey, how about a little Windows 10 over here?
Need a little update. Need a little love.
This 7 stuff's getting a little old.
Technical preview. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Anyway, this is all good news. And you have been covering it expertly, of course, over there at Tech News, or at your Tech News show, which is the Daily Tech News show.
Yeah, it's not Tech News Today.
No, I keep doing that. It's weird.
That is another fine show.
It is a fine show.
It's not the one I have.
No. Anything else that people should be on the lookout for, either today or otherwise?
Yeah, look out for your Kindle single, Scott Johnson, that you illustrated. Yeah. It's got all the things that happened in October in tech history. All of them. Every single. No, it's got some things that we think are important. Usually like 3 or 4 per day for the entire month of October. And then illustrations by Scott in there. And that's available at TomMerrittBooks.com. You can also just search the Amazon store for Tech History October. And that's the last piece.
Yeah.
That's, you got the whole
year.
Yep.
You got the whole year, 12 of them. And it's a dollar, dude. It's a dollar. So
it's
just
not even. It's like 99 cents.
That's 99 cents. Not even quite a dollar. Save that extra penny and give it to a good cause. Whatever.
Save that penny and give it to the Sword and Laser Patreon.
There you go.
Hey, is that up? Is that going now?
Yeah, we just launched it yesterday.
Oh, nice. I missed the news. That's cool. Patreon.com/what? Sword and Laser?
Sword and Laser. Yep.
All right. And Laser. I'm going to get this bookmarked. All right. Excellent. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure to hang out with you here on TMS. I look forward to Current Geek this weekend. We'll have guests, and Tom and I will do our thing, and it'll be good fun for all. Tom Merritt, everybody. Stay out of trouble.
Thanks, y'all.
See you later.
See you.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay. All right.
Very good.
Well, good for them. That's fantastic news.
I really wanted Windows 9. I really wanted it. I know. Never going to see it ever. Windows 9. 9 times. So many 9s in movies and music.
So many 9s. So little times. All right. We are going to now. What are we going to do now? Oh, we're going to do emails. Hey, let's do some emails. They're brought to you by
Coverville, where today you're going to hear some covers of people and songs.
What?
That,
Hold on. You're breaking the fourth wall, dude.
I am going out on a limb with this one. Possibly Stevie Ray Vaughan, possibly Gwen Stefani, who's got a birthday this week. Almost certainly Matthew Sweet, who turns 50 this week. Plus a tribute to the number 10 and some indie hodgepodge, a big variety on today's show of Coverville. 2 p.m. Mountain, the only time zone that matters, right here.
Yeah. By the way, she is 45 on the 3rd. She is
Gwen Stefani?
Absolutely. One of the most non-aging human beings ever to live.
I know.
Even Gavin Goofum, whatever his name is, her husband.
Gavin Mr. Bush.
Mr. Bush. Yeah. Yeah. is looking older than she does, and he's.
I know, she does not look like she's had any work done. This looks like it's an all natural, just deal with the devil kind of thing. Where she just looks great,
which is great. Grats to her, man. Mm-hmm. And she's cool and tough, and still can still pull it off, man. She's great. All right, Christine Z wrote in.
Ooh, cool.
Or Zed, as they'd say in Europe.
Christine Z.
Hey there. You know they say zebra. They don't say zebra there. Did you know that?
Right. Yeah.
That's annoying.
Zebra crossing.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Hey there. I'm sure you have a number
of
responses.
Maybe we're the screwed up ones.
Well,
huh?
It could be us. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I'm sure you have a number of responses by now, but to clear up the term necropsy.
There you go.
It's a term used when performing an autopsy on animals. They did not dig poor animal back up just to do an autopsy. It was likely performed hours or most likely days after she had passed. Nothing more gross than what happens to humans. The rest of the article, that sounds like some weird journalism. Hope that helps, Christine. I appreciate that.
Good to see that we were still right on target with how weird the rest of the article was written about. This was the beaver that the mayor dropped, or the groundhog that the mayor dropped.
I got exactly. New York mayor dropped the groundhog for Groundhog Day, died because he dropped it.
Right.
It was bad journalism. This reminds me of something on emails. I just wanted to bring this up. If any spam experts exist out there, if you could like cue me in here, here's the problem.
Experts on creating spam?
On dealing with it.
Oh, so, gotcha.
for the morning stream email, for the last month or so, I've been getting all these emails from somebody named Julie and somebody named Dr. Alex. Okay, those are always the names in the subject line.
Right.
It's always spam, 100%.
I have something great for you.
Yes, and it's always that every time. And the inbox, just on the Morning Stream account, no other accounts, chock full of these names.
Do we have a link to the Morning Stream at gmail.com on the website anywhere?
Possibly, but I have links to my email addresses on every site. They're all over the place, and I don't get...
We gotta obfuscate those.
Well, true, but here's my problem. 90% of the spam, 99% of the spam for everything else I do, all the shows, my main email accounts that I put all over Twitter and everything else, that stuff is filtered out and sent to a spam folder. No problem. Don't have any issues. Occasionally a weird one will get through, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. This one, I mark them all as spam every day, and I'm not kidding. There's 40 to 50 of them per day. Mm-hmm. I spam them. It says, great. It removes them. And they're gone. But then they just kind of keep coming. I figured, well, I need to train it, so it'll take a little while. Okay, we're 2 months or so into this thing, and they're still doing it. And I started moving them over. You know, Gmail has the groupings, right? Let me pull it up here. The primary, social,
exactly.
Whatever.
Circles or whatever,
I push those. Well, that's weird. Sorry, something else happened that wasn't supposed to happen. Tomatoes aren't supposed to be black. Anyway, so I started putting them over into that other category thinking, oh, well, now they'll just automatically go to promotions. No, it doesn't matter. They still show up in the inbox. And again, I've got old addresses, new addresses, a million addresses, all of them is just as exposed to spam as this one might be. But I cannot get Julie and Dr. Alex out of my inbox. And right now, probably if I check, there's probably 100 in there.
Wow.
I'm going to check right now. Okay, here we go. Quick check. Is going to be so irritating. Yep, there it is. Julie, Dr. Alex. Julie, Dr.
Well, now,
Alex.
I mean, now that that email is in, it's out there, it's going to be hard to get off that list. You're going to have to...
But why are they showing up? This is more a question about why is Google not marking them as spam?
Understanding them and recognizing the spam? Yeah, I don't know.
Because every time I say they're spam, it says, great.
It's not coming from the same email address, right? It's going to be like a similar email address with like this long letter and number code that differentiates it.
That's a good point. Let me find out. So this one is Julie. It's together at livinginternetstylelifetime.pw. Where the hell is that? This one's from retiringwithjulie.pw. So yeah, they're always different. And maybe that's how they're getting around it.
Mm-hmm.
But why my other address is not getting these? I don't get it. Oh, look at these. Okay, Brian, let me count them for you. 85 since yesterday.
Wow.
I'm going to spam them again. All right. That's all I know how to do.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
It's all I know how to do. Okay. Well, forget about that.
Coming next week, a brand new morning stream email address.
Oh, geez. All right. Scott says, Morgan, I think the reason the teacher was fired for the robot comment, I think she was not fired, but was forced to retire, but whatever.
It was a forced resignation. Yeah,
or pressure to, or whatever. Who knows how much of that was her choice. Anyway, for the robot comment, was not because the school actually thought she meant it, but that the that she became a multi-million dollar liability the second she made the comment. The big difference between your examples of similar situations and this teacher is that the school is liable for her actions in the school. There is probably about one in a million chance this lady actually snaps and shoots children, robot or not. But if she does, after the school became aware of that comment and did nothing about it, they are going to be sued for all they have, plus more. It just simply isn't worth gambling millions of dollars on a teacher after she made a dumb comment like that. Agree that the correlation doesn't prove causation, but in this case, correlation causes liability. Thanks for you and Brian and what you do every day. Morgan, that is the most sensible email I'd gotten on the topic.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense to me now that you say it.
So totally. Yep.
I think you're right.
It's a very good point.
I love the perspectives of our listeners.
I do too.
Smart bunch.
Even Richard.
Richard. Richard's fine. Yeah, even Android Richard. He's fine.
Android Richard.
Yeah, he's fine.
Rich Droid.
Right now, he's got some weird exploit on his phone. He doesn't even know it's there. Dear Stash and Beard, says John in Pennsylvania.
All right.
That would make you Beard. I'm Stash, I guess.
Sure, sure.
It's a great buddy cop S&B. Movie.
Stash and Beard, Stash fighting and Beard. Crime. That's Give me your badge, Beard.
Gotta get Mendoza.
Writing in about the teacher that said she'd program robots and shoot students. So another one. I think we just need to look at this in this way. What if it was a classroom full of robots and the robot teacher said we should program humans to be teachers and they can shoot the robot students? When you think about it that way, everything becomes perfectly clear. Stubbed my toe, though. John in Pennsylvania.
You remember a couple of minutes ago when I said I love the perspective of perspectives of our listeners?
Yeah, that one's weird. I love it, though. I love it. I love it.
No, that's funny. Very funny.
Very nicely done. That's your emails. If you want to send yours in, themorningstream@gmail.com, themorningstream@gmail.com. Julie and Dr. Alex need not apply. You can send your emails there. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. On Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Again, look at coverville.com later today for a new episode. And there's a new Boop show tomorrow. And there's, let's say I'm on Nerd Parents here in a bit. And what else is going on? I guess that's it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Shadow of Mordor. Go buy it, everybody. It's freaking fantastic. Can't wait to play more. Brian Ibbett.
Yes, sir.
Let's go away now. But with music.
All right, we're going to go away, but with music.
Yeah, this one time,
like a soundtrack,
you know.
A soundtrack to going away.
Yeah, like we never do this before. This is totally new, brand new experience. Let's play music at the end of the show. Go.
Sure. Well, this one's going out to another Jay Martin. I see him right there in the tadpole. Hey there, science and biology. Today is my lovely fiancé Steph's birthday. Oh. We're a fan of the group Maniacal Four, so I'd like to dedicate their cover of Kashmir to her. Also, I'd love to hear Scott's reaction to it, since it's not one, not two, not three, but four trombones.
Whoa.
Trom the bone, though. Another J. Martin.
Okay.
So, you know, here's something interesting about the version of Kashmir that Maniacal Four does. Mm. It's 8.5 minutes long.
Okay.
Yeah. So while I will probably get a copy of that over to Scott so he can hear it, we're going to go with a shorter Maniacal Four cover. And this is from the same album. This is still Maniacal Four. It's still four trombones. And I hope another J. Martin will forgive me for not doing the 8.5 minute song at the end of TMS today.
Well, he'll have to.
He'll have to.
Yeah.
He'll just have to
sit there and groove
have
on
to
it.
Deal with it. Mm-hmm. He says 2 minutes per bone, says Irony Man. Nice. So how about instead of Led Zeppelin trombones, how about some Styx trombones? Does that work?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. How about this cover of Renegade? This is from the same album, Carry On, which features a lot of great covers of classic rock songs. Maniacal Four and their cover of Renegade.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow for Therapy Thursday, Big Thursday episode. Man, they've been long this week. I hope you guys enjoy how long they are because it's making up for the fact that Monday didn't happen. Hope that works for everyone. I hope so. I know it's a long-ass show, okay? I get it. I got it. I know it's long. I get it. All right, here it is. It's Renegade. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Your butt's soft.